Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a journey, not a destination. There are no mistakes, just chances we've taken. Lay down your regrets, 'cause all we have is now. Wake up in the morning and get out of bed. Start making a mental list in my head of all of the things that I am grateful for. Early in the morning, the dawn of a new day, new hope, new dream, new way. I open up my eyes and I open up my mind and I wonder how life will surprise me today.
Welcome to Living Abundantly with your host, Tanika Patrice Kane, on 109.9 Penn Station. I'm glad that you are with me again this evening. Tonight we're going to be talking about right thinking in the midst of the journey, especially while waiting on your manifestation. I was thinking earlier today how timely it is that the show actually airs on Thursday night. Thankful Thursday. So I hope that just off the top of your head you can come up with at least five things that you're thankful for. So here's my five. I am thankful for a solid support system because I remember all too well when I didn't have one. I am thankful that I'm alive at this time to be part of what's happening in the earth, like right now. For each one of you who connect with me in whatever way that you choose, whether it's on Facebook or following my blog, on the broadcast, reading my books, emails, whatever, I appreciate each of you. I'm thankful for a genuine, true love that isn't diminished by time, distance, or obstacles. And I am thankful that we get a chance to get it right with each new sunrise. that we are wonderful works in progress in our entire lives, and each day gives us a chance to be better versions of ourselves. And that's a gift, that even though we are loved wholly and completely right where we are, that we don't have to stay where we are either. So that's my list. And I hope that there are many things that you are thankful for as well. So our passage of scripture for tonight is going to be Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And it reads, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So tonight we're going to spend a little time just kind of breaking down this passage of scripture. Many times we just kind of read through the scriptures without getting any real meaning out of it. But this scripture gives us a lot of instructions and tells us exactly what we should do and the kinds of things that we need to keep our minds fixed on while we're waiting. The first thing it tells us to do is to not worry about anything. Our instructions instead of worrying is just to pray. In other words, friends, just talk to God about whatever the situation is. And it's perfectly fine for you to be honest as you're feeling at this time. If you need to ask for something and don't really have your faith set that it can happen, now is the time to admit that and ask for help in having faith. There's a passage of scripture in the Gospels in Mark chapter 9, verses 23 through 24. In context, the man has a son who is possessed with the spirit, and the spirit is doing all kinds of foul things and hurting this guy. So the father beseeches the Lord and is asking for help. Okay, so Jesus says, and here we are at 23 and 24. Jesus said unto him, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." The Lord is not unaware of our feelings or the areas where we struggle. This person in the passage clearly had a level of faith that Jesus could meet the need, struggled to fully believe it could happen for him. Jesus didn't rebuke him. In the next verse, we see that Jesus actually did what had been asked. If you are struggling with your faith, and if you are struggling, just really holding on and really believing that God can do it for you. A lot of times we have faith which says, "Oh, God, I believe you can do anything." But we don't always have hope. And hope says, "I believe that you can do it for me." And so in the midst of those kinds of situations, it's okay for you to be honest with him and to cry out and let him know exactly where you are. He totally understands, and he knows anyway. And so remember, we have already said that whatever it is that you reveal, he can heal. So if you can talk to him and tell him, "Hey, I'm struggling here," then he is prepared and able to kind of undergird you and build you up and strengthen you in the areas where you're struggling. So back to the scripture in Philippians. So we're instructed to supplicate, which means to ask humbly and earnestly with thanksgiving. There it is again, that whole gratitude piece. What are we thanking him for? Many things. We're thanking him that he's even there for us to come to. I mean, he could be a God who's far off, but he desires relationship. And so he's there, always just right there. And that is something to be thankful for. So we're thanking him for his presence and that he says you can come boldly to the throne of grace, in your time of need and get whatever it is that you need from him. There's, I'm reminded in the Old Testament where he's talking to Moses and he shows up in this burning bush and he's saying to him, to talk to the people of Israel. And Moses was like, okay, who exactly am I supposed to tell him, tell these people, is saying all of this. And he says, "I am that I am," And I find that passage of scripture to be so powerful because he's saying that whatever it is that you need, he is. So if you are in need of a healer, he's your healer. If you are in need of a parent, he's your parent. If you need some love, He's there to love on you. If you need some comfort, he's your comfort. If you need the bills paid, he's your provider. Whatever it is that you are in need of, if you need protection, you know, he's strong and he's mighty. He's all these things. And so whatever it is that you need, he is. And so you can come boldly to the throne of grace and just be honest about whatever it is that you are in need of at that time. And he stands ready, willing, and open to just help you and meet you right at your place of need. So that's one of the things that we're thanking him for, that we can even just come to him. And we're thankful that he cares. And we're thankful that he's willing and able to handle our situation. We're thankful that he's mighty. We're thankful that he's trustworthy. Yeah, how about that? You know, that you don't have to worry about him filling your business and, you know, saying one thing and doing something else, but that he literally is exactly who we know that he is. He is the person that we can put our complete and total trust in, and he does just what he says he's going to do, and he watches over his word and makes sure that it does not return unto him void, that you can count on him and you can depend on him, that he is literally your ever-present help in times of trouble. And you can thank him finally that whatever it was that you asked him for, it's done. And since faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen, you're thanking him that it's already done, even though in the natural realm we have not yet seen any kind of manifestation that it has been done. But faith says, Lord, I asked you, you know, I came to you and I did what you told me to do. I am laying it here before you, and I am trusting you now to take care of this. And so faith says, all right, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and just thank you right now that it's already done. So that passage of Scripture in Philippians lets us know that after we pray and that we thank him, we just need to leave it right there for him to handle. So that's what we're doing when we are exercising our faith. We're going to just leave it right there, you know, kind of, you know, just leaving it at the altar, if you will. You know, if you pray and then, you know, talk to him about it and take it right back, then you're still leaving it for yourself to handle and not leaving it for him to handle. So you've got to actually leave it right there at the altar for him to be able to deal with. And he will. And so we're going to leave it there. Then he says that after you do that, after you pray and after you thank him and leave it there, that the peace of God will come upon you and will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So after you do that and supplicate that, you should be able to just rest in peace, knowing that he's got it and he's got you, and that in his time and in his way, he's going to bring it all to pass and work it all out for you. Okay. Then we're told to just fix our minds on him while we're waiting on manifestation. And we're supposed to think on these kinds of things. Okay. So one of the things that we are thinking on is whatever's true. Okay. And so when I looked at these things up in the dictionary, you know, kind of delved in a little bit deeper to find out exactly what are these things that he's saying that we're supposed to fix our mind on. So we are fixing our minds on whatever is true. And something that's true is faithful, it's loyal, it's constant, it's reliable, it's in accordance with fact, and it's not false. So, you know, a lot of times we have, you know, fears and things like that, and fear would say, you know, oh, this could happen or that could happen, but we know that fear is just an acronym for false evidence appearing real. So we don't have to accept it as truth. We can cast it down. We can rebuke it, and we can continue to just focus our minds on what is true and what is real. The next thing it tells us is to focus our minds on what is honest. And to be honest, something is honest, it is held in respect, it's honorable, it's credible, it's commendable, it's seemly, it is that it will not lie, cheat, or steal, it's truthful, it's trustworthy, it's straightforward, it's showing fairness and sincerity, it's genuine. The next thing he tells us is to focus our mind on what is just. And what just is, it's lawful, it's right, it's proper, it's equitable, it is right or fair, it's righteous, impartial, it's deserved, merited, it's reasonable, well-founded, it's accurate. The next thing we're going to focus on are thoughts that are pure, things that are free from any adulterant. They're free from anything that taints, impairs, or infects. It's simple. It's free from defect. It's faultless, blameless, free from sin or guilt. We're going to focus our thoughts on those things that are lovely, which are having qualities that inspire love, affection, or admiration. They're beautiful, exquisite, morally or spiritually attractive. They're gracious. They're highly enjoyable. And we're focusing on things that are of good rapport, suitable to a purpose, effective, beneficial, valid, genuine, fresh, unspoiled, enjoyable, happy, pleasant, desirable, adequate, ample, and sufficient. And then the last of it tells us that things are of both virtue. And so something that is a virtue has general moral excellence. It has right action and thinking. It has goodness, effective power or force, and it has the ability to heal or strengthen. When I was looking these words up, that really stood out to me, that we could focus on things that have the ability to heal or to strengthen. Okay, so as you are waiting on manifestation and you are, you know, working through your process and you are keeping your thoughts in the right place and keeping your mind in the right place and keeping your words pointing, your, pointing in the direction where you want to go, this is not the time to be focusing on, you know, what someone did to you that was wrong. That will put your mind in a different kind of place. It will actually kind of draw your energy down and pull your emotions down, and then you won't be able to be in such a high place. And I was thinking about this and kind of and telling my mother about it, that my daughter woke me up recently, and she kind of wore her little blankie. And she says, "Hi, sweetie." And I woke up and I said, "Oh, goodness." What a wonderful way to start the day. Oh, did she say that you wanted to have ice cream for breakfast and a trip to Disney World? Let me see how I can make these things happen for you. So even though I'm of course, just kidding about that, but, you know, when you are in a mode of gratitude and things are positive and upbeat, it certainly draws more of that to you. She had an absolutely fantastic day because we have to start our day off on the right foot, and it was wonderful. And, you know, it's such as, you know, such as it is with in the kingdom and in the universe and dealing with God, you know, the more, you know, positive that you can be, the more positive your outlook can be, the more you'll draw those things to yourself. So it's a good thing. And so I was really found that particular portion of the definition to be really important, you know, for me, and something that I would want to spend some time really kind of focusing on, but that I could focus my mind on things that have the ability to heal or to strengthen, you know. And I am, sometimes I get really strong, like, impressions, almost like I get to feel what other people feel. And so I've been feeling some really strong, like, frustration on the parts of some of you. You know, like, you know, there were things that you've been trying to do, and it seemed like no matter what it was that you put your hands to, you just could not seem to pull it all together. And, you know, you're trying to do things with integrity, and you are trying to do things in the right mindset, and you're spending all the money that you've got to make things work, and stuff is just not lining up, and people have made promises, and they're not coming through, and you're frustrated, and you're wondering, like, you know, why am I even trying to do any of this? Why am I putting forth this kind of effort, and, like, nothing is working out, and you're frustrated, and you want to give up, and you're thinking about, you know, selling off all the stuff for your business, and, you know, throwing in the towel, and, like, forget it, I'll get me a 9-to-5, knowing that everything in you is screaming out that that is not what you want, and I'm just so feeling you, and I'm feeling your frustration, and I am here to tell you, don't give up, you know, and don't be angry or bitter at the people that you know were assigned to help you who chose not to. We all have choice. Choice is choice. We all have choices. And we can sometimes choose to do things that are not in the best interest. And I know we've talked about this, like, in other broadcasts, like earlier broadcasts, where, you know, people just do what they do. And it doesn't necessarily make it right, but it is what it is. And so, you know, if you know that, and we don't have the we don't have the power to change other people. All we can do is just monitor and change how we react to things. You know, but God is still all-powerful. He's still all-powerful, and he is still your source. So even though someone may have not done what they were supposed to do, and they may have stood you up and let you down and just completely just dropped the ball
on some stuff and left you hanging and cost you money and cost you resources and valuable and precious time. If you're like me, time means a whole lot, you know, but and I don't have time to be wasting on stuff, you know. And so, you know, you are just in this place where you're almost disgusted. But you know what? It's okay. And whatever it was that he had promised you before the process started, he still wanted to do exactly what it was that he said he was going to do. And so your assignment then will be to not be angry or bitter at whoever it is that has interfered or has gotten in the way and has kind of held up stuff. You know, just count it as a loss. Count it as some stuff that you learned some things from. Give it to God. Give the person to God. And just let him handle it, you know, and you go on and keep doing what it is that you have to do because you don't have time to get stuck. I mean, you know, we're not spring chickens here, you know, and even though time is our friend, we don't want to be wasting it, you know, and going around. Let me just be real plain. We don't want to become a dead sea. You know, nothing gets, you know, whatever flows in stays in and nothing can live there, you know, and that is not what we want to become in our lives because we've let the root of bitterness sink in. So, you know, just accept it. Okay, the person chose not to help me or the people chose not to help me or they chose to literally just try and block the flow of my blessings. But, you know, the word of the Lord is true. And so whatever it is that he's promised you that he was going to do for you, he's going to do those things. And so, you know, he may have to choose somebody else. You know, sometimes I say that the blessing may have to have a different face, but that's okay. You know, it's still him doing exactly what it was that he said he was going to do. So just trust him, you know, but you know he's honest, and he can deal with your honesty. And so if you are sad and if you are angry and if you are, you know, resentful, you really can go ahead and just have that conversation. If you need to beat some pillows, you know, and, you know, shoot some basketballs or whatever it is that you do to relieve stress and, you know, journal up some stuff, write some nasty letters, and then hit delete. Whatever it is that you need to do to free yourself up, go ahead and do what you have to do, you know, because he already knows that it's in there anyway. But when you are honest with him and you reveal what's there, then he's able to heal you of that and to help you to move on. And that's the point. We're just trying to not get stuck. You don't want to become a dead sea. And so, you know, you'll just forgive whoever it is that has disappointed you and let you down or just literally just decided to just be a stumbling block to your progress, you know, based on their own stuff. I mean, what does that tell you about, like, you know, where their heart is, that they would deliberately try to come against you in that way, you know, but greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So, you know, rise up and let the greater one and the power that dwells in you govern your choices and, you know, just turn the other cheek and be the bigger person and keep your eyes focused on where it is that you're trying to go. If you're just tuning in, this is Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane, and tonight we're just talking about the things that we need to be thinking on and how we need to set our minds in a certain kind of direction when we are waiting on manifestation. And it's, the passage of scripture that we are meditating on throughout the week is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And so, you know, we're just encouraging tonight because, you know, some of you are tired and you're angry and you're frustrated, but you don't have to stay in that place. And so, you know, by now you should have made a list and you should know exactly what it is that you're working on. And so I'm going to encourage you to delve into that list a little bit deeper and say, you know, okay, let's put some timelines on some things. What exactly is it that you are trying to reach a certain kind of goal, you know, and I'm going to use myself for example, you know, here I had a job that I really loved. I had gotten a promotion, and I was an executive assistant and, you know, all those kinds of things, and it was something I really loved doing, and I'm good at it, and it brought me great pleasure. Unfortunately, you know, the person I was working for, you know, was not giving me the kind of pay that I should have received, which kind of put a damper, you know, on some stuff. But I'm saying that because, you know, when I left there, I was like, oh, I will never work for another person again in my life. And so I did some other stuff, you know, not like that. I did some other stuff
But I ended up in a place where I needed to, and I kind of stepped back and I looked at what my goals were, and I'm like, okay, you know, I may need to actually, you know, kind of revamp what I was thinking and may need to go back to working for other people for a little while in order for me to be able to accomplish the goal that I had set for myself. So if you have to do that, don't look at that as if you have, you know, like you're taking a step back. Look at it like you're actually just kind of, like you're on a springboard, kind of lunging yourself forward, and you're setting yourself up, you know. So you have to do what you have to do sometimes. But, you know, then you're asking yourself, like, okay, well, how important is it that I do this? How important is this goal to me that it be fulfilled in my life? And so, you know, you can stay where you're at, you know, and kind of, you know, plug it along or whatever it is you have to do. But then other times you have to just say, okay, let me go ahead and just bite the bullet here. I'm going to have to revamp some of my time. I may have to go to school. I may have to do some things I thought that I didn't really want to have to do. But it's ultimately taking on these activities will help me to get myself closer to where I'm trying to go, then it's going to be worth it. So, you know, as you look at your list, you know, kind of figure out exactly what it is that you need to do. If you are trying to start up a business in a new area, you're not really, you know, familiar with that, you're going to have to kind of spend some time there. You may need to do some research and find out, you know, about zoning and things like that. You know, this while you're waiting, you're not just waiting. You are waiting and working. A lot of times we feel like we can just sit back and just literally just like kind of wait and twiddle our thumbs and wait on God to do everything, but God never does everything. We have a part that we have to play too, and he's not going to do our part in the same way he's not expecting us to do his part. So, you know, while you are wanting to do kind of, you know, a certain kind of business or a certain kind of venture, or you might want to write a book or whatever it is that you want to do, you know, there's research and stuff that has to be done. There are things that you need to do to be equipping yourself so that when the door opens and he is ready to move on your behalf, you have things set up and lined up so that literally he can just usher you right in. You know, you'll be wasting a whole lot of time if you have not done anything for your business, and yet you know, you're wanting him just, you know, to open up a door and start something for you. For whatever reason, a daycare just came to mind. You know, if you want to open up a daycare, you know, then, you know, there's stuff that you need to do and things that you can do to prepare yourself for that. You know, you could write your handbook and you could write your program out, and you can get your policies and procedures and stuff in place, and you can take your first aid and CPR classes and get licensed for that. And you can find out, you know, you can contact whatever state it is that you're in and see what it is that you need to do so that you can have a daycare in their state. You know, some states have where you can't do like a home-based daycare and not be licensed, and other places, you know, don't really have those things in place. You kind of need to know all that because you don't want to go through all of this and then not have your stuff in place or not be able to do what it is that you want to do. So as you begin to research, then you'll know where you need to kind of fine-tune some stuff, you know, where you might need to pick up a second job, if you will, you know, just to pick up, you know, just to be able to buy the equipment and stuff that you need so that you're not actually, like, you know, impoverishing your household while you're trying to get your business and stuff going. You know, all of those things are investments in your future. It's not time wasted. It's not effort wasted. You know, remember, we keep saying that you're worth the effort. You are worth the effort that it takes to do all of the stuff that you want to do. And then there are some of you, because I'm feeling this too, there are some of you who have commitments that you've made. You feel like you have to fulfill the commitment. But God is telling you, get on with it. You know, you need to move and give that to me and trust me to handle that. You know, and you're still holding on. He's like, let that go. So, you know, just trust him. You know, he's not just, you know, your Lord, or, you know, he's not just your God, but he is like literally like the God of the universe. And so he's big enough to handle whatever it is. And if you're concerned about like your reputation or whatever, you know, I'm a person who always follows through, then, you know, that's fine, you know, but you need to move when he tells you to move. And that's for so many different levels. Sometimes we stay too long and then the grace has lifted and we put ourselves in danger. I'm thinking about a situation. A friend of mine was on this job, and the Lord had been dealing with her, like, you need to
you need to quit. You know, and for whatever reason, she just couldn't seem to let it go. And she stayed way longer than she was supposed to. And then at some point, the grace lifted, and she fell, and she hit her head and hurt herself. And you know, all kinds of crazy stuff was happening because she no longer had the grace to be there. So you don't want to be in a situation where the grace has lifted. So he's telling you to get out of a situation. You need to go. There's an urgency. You need to get out. You know, he's not just telling you, and he's not suggesting anything. He's telling you to do something for a reason. And so, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a situation where you'll be in danger. And when you don't have his grace, you're open to anything. I'm going to say that again. When you don't have his grace, you're open to anything. Anything could literally just kind of come and overtake you, and you'll be like, oh, my God, how did this stuff start happening in my life? It's because you stayed longer than you needed to stay in a situation, and the grace has lifted. So, you know, if you feel like you don't know how to do it, you can really just kind of cry out to him on that one. Lord, okay, I know you're telling me to leave. I'm afraid to leave. I don't know how I'm going to leave. I don't know how I'm going to do what it is that you're telling me to do. But when you step out, he will meet you at that place. And if you look back over your life, you've seen him do it before, and you've seen him do it in the lives of other people. So even if you have to ask him to bring back to your remembrance things that he has done in the past so that you can stay encouraged, go ahead and do what you have to do. But if he's telling you to get out, and I'm feeling an urgency in my spirit, if he's telling you to get out of whatever it is that you're in, obey. Do what he's telling you to do so you don't end up in a situation that you could have avoided and something that could potentially cost you some stuff that you're not ready to pay. Get out. Do what he's telling you to do. Get out. So that's that. But, you know, just be encouraged and keep your mind on right things. And so this is good because, you know, now that we have a focus and we know exactly what it is that we should be keeping our mind on, would our mind start to veer off into negative places or stuff that will bring us into a low place or make us, you know, be looking at folks kind of cross-eyed and angry and your thoughts are vengeful and all that kind of stuff. You know, really, none of that stuff is necessary because we said before, you know, he's still God, and he's still going to do just what he told you he was going to do. So you need to continue to focus your mind on those things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good rapport and things that are virtuous so that you can keep your spirit up for one thing, you know, so that you can keep your faith up for another, and so that whatever it is that you're thinking will line up with your words and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks as you continue to, you know, to put your mouth in the direction where you want yourself to go, then you'll see more and more manifestation, you know, of some things. And I'm reading an interesting book this week, and it's simply called Happy, Simple Steps to Get the Most Out of Your Life. And it's by Ian K. Smith, MD, and I thought, oh, okay, this is kind of interesting, you know, something I picked up in a bargain bin from Whiffle Buck or whatever, but it's a really good book. And even though, you know, he is a doctor, and I wasn't even very familiar with him. Some of you might be, because he really is a New York Times bestselling author. He wrote something about diet or whatever, you know, and it went to number one. But how interesting, you know, but the book reads easy like a novel would. You know, I'm really enjoying this read. And he's just kind of talking about, you know, how he actually had a turning point on his honeymoon, you know, and he had grown up in just kind of like a modest, you know, working class family, and, you know, they didn't have an abundance of stuff, but they had what they needed, and they were happy, and, you know, and the more successful he got, you know, and it was, you know, a big coup to be able to live in a certain kind of place and to wear these tailored suits and, you know, drive these expensive cars and all this kind of stuff, you know, but he doesn't have a lot of time, and he was saying that he had gotten married, and they were on their honeymoon, and they were in some island in, like, the South Pacific or whatever, and the agreement that he and his new wife made was that he could, because he's kind of an internet junkie, the agreement they made was that he could check his email twice a day, like, you know, in the morning and at night, but because they were on the other side of the world, you know, it made better sense for him to be able to do more stuff, like, in the evening, and he had, like, a 30-minute block of time, but they were really in this kind of remote area, and so, like, walking from the cabin to, like, the lodge, if you will, where the internet and stuff was set up at night, you know, with all these strange animals and all this stuff was really kind of not what he was. It was not an ideal situation. Someone would have to call, and one of the little workers driving a little golf cart would come pick him up, you know, always with a smile on his face, you know, and take him over there. And he had talking to the person. And the person had a level of peace and happiness in his life that Ian didn't have, you know. And the guy, and Ian had asked him, you know, have you ever been to New York? And he's like, no, I could never afford it, but that's okay. And he was smiling and he was happy. And, you know, like they just, even though he woke him up out of sleep in order to be able to do that, and they were, you know, to take him over to the lodge. And, you know, he's so pleasant. And, you know, his family was provided for, and, you know, he's living in, you know, like a virtual paradise in this, on this island, and everything was really lovely. And, but it made Ian have to stop and think, like, okay, you know, what is it that we're actually kind of chasing after? And I'm not saying that, that stuff, you know, isn't important and money isn't important. I mean, certainly we do need money in order to be able to really make an impact and to be able to help other people and to set, you know, set things up. But sometimes we look at it more like it's a driving force, and we lose sight of some things. And I had gotten recruited to be, of all things, an insurance agent. I'm thinking, what on earth? I had posted a resume, and I thought, okay, I'll go to the interview and see what this person is talking about, you know. And he, you know, rose to the ranks. He had been in the business forever, had rose to the ranks really quickly. And, you know, now he did have a spouse, you know, so the spouse was able to kind of be there with the children and that kind of stuff, you know. But he was saying, you know, people who only wanted to work, like, you know, 9 to 5 would never really make any real money in the industry. And I thought, you know, this is not for me. I have a kid. You know, I have other things that it is that I have to do and that I want to do. And I can't be working, you know, 60, 70, 80 hours a week, you know, pounding the pavement just trying to get money. And even though, you know, they make really great money and they have, you know, salespeople make, you know, they're good at what they do. They have amazing lives, you know, but it was still just a matter of principle and priority, you know. That was just kind of not my priority. So I said all that to say that the book is called Happy, Simple Steps to Get the Most Out of Life by Ian K. Smith, MD. And it's a really good read. So if you have an opportunity to get it, you know, do so and see what kind of things it kind of challenges your thinking on. Again, if you are just tuning in, this is Living Abundantly with Tamika Patrice Kane here on 109.9 Penn Station. And we are talking about right thinking while we are waiting on manifestation. And the scripture we are focusing on is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. And he was giving us very specific things that we needed to focus our minds on after we prayed and left it there and thanked him and just left it with him. We were focusing on things that were true and honest and just and pure and lovely and as it was for, and things that were virtuous. So we're saying that it's not the time for you to get kind of wrapped up and angry and bitter at people who have chosen not to help you, even the ones that you know have deliberately gotten in the way where things were set up for you, and it could have been like a real blessing for you. You're just kind of not going to focus on that stuff, you know. But delay is not denial, and it may take you longer to have gotten where you're trying to go than you wanted it to, but you're still going to get there. So just keep pressing forward and keep your eyes kind of focused on the target and focused on the prize, if you will, and keep your mind and keep your thoughts and keep your mouth pointed in the direction where you want things to actually manifest for yourself, you know. And even when you're feeling your worst, sometimes it helps just kind of step outside of yourself and help somebody else. And I need to kind of encourage you not to get caught up in victim mentality. That is always a choice, you know. And, yes, people may have done to you what they've done, but you don't have to choose to be a victim. You can just look at it like it was literally just an experience that you had in your life and just kind of forge on and go on from there. So you don't have to be a victim, you know. And there's always a lesson to be learned in whatever situation that you find yourself in. And so, you know, just take from it what it is that you need to take from it, because if you go through it and don't get what it was that you were supposed to get, you're going to have to repeat it. So I don't know about you, but I really don't like having to repeat, you know, stuff that I could have just gotten the first time. So, you know, sometimes I have to just kind of pray, okay, what is it that I'm supposed to be getting from this? Because I need to get this the first time around, you know, so I'm over it, you know, and help somebody else, you know. Don't start feeling sorry for yourself. And, I mean, it's okay if you're feeling bad, but, you're like, we talk about how the process and the journey is just as important as, like, getting to the destination. And so sometimes part of your lesson is, oh, okay, well, you bounced back faster this time. You know, it might have taken you, that hit might have knocked you out for a month the last time. This time it only took 2 weeks, or this time it only took a week, or this time it only took 3 days, and you got a chance to bounce back, and you know, are back on your feet faster. So, you know, we, in the midst of all this, you know, you still need to kind of be giving yourself, you know, positive feedback and speaking life over yourself and not beating yourself up because you're not where you want to be, but you are still in the process of where it is that you are going, and you're still making strides, and you're further along today than you were yesterday. So give yourself some credit for that, you know. And while you're at it, find somebody else to encourage, because there's somebody else who is not quite as far along as you, you know, and they need to be lifted up. They need to be undergirded. They need to be kind of poured into, because they're struggling, you know, and you know what it's like to struggle. And so some of the things that I find are helpful when I am feeling my worst is to make a list of the things that I am, like, thankful for, things that, like, you know, he has done for me in the past. Like, almost like rehearsing my testimony, you know, in a way, or asking him to put me back in the mind of, or in remembrance of the things that he's done, so that I can stay focused. It's hard to be depressed and to feel down and gloomy when you say, oh, goodness, yeah, he's done so much. You know, yeah, I remember when I didn't have money to pay the bills, and, you know, somebody placed a cake order and they needed 6 cakes or whatever, or, you know, whatever it is that, you know, he has done, you know, those things have been there to encourage you and to encourage somebody else, you know. So we're just going to, you know, forge on ahead, and you're going to know that whatever it is that you need is on your path, just waiting on you to get there. And so even though one person may have chosen not to help you, or not to bless you, or not to follow through on what it is that they knew they were supposed to do, that's okay. You know, they get to kind of deal with God on that, and those are seeds that they've sown. So, you know, and they kind of get to deal with, you know, all that karmic activity, or reaping and sowing, or, you know, whatever did you call it, you know, that give and take stuff that happens, you know, because the laws of the universe are the laws of the universe, and it doesn't matter, you know, what your orientation or whatever it is that you believe, it just is what it is. So, you know, we just let the universe operate how the universe operates, because it's going to do that with or without our permission, you know. So, but remember, when it's your turn to pour into somebody, what it felt like when someone let you down and they didn't follow through for you. Remember, ask him to keep you. Ask him even now, Lord, when my time comes and I finally get where it is that I'm trying to go, please help me to remember what it was like when I was going through all this stuff and I didn't have any help and I needed help, or people were speaking poorly against me and talking down about what it was that you had asked me to do, or what it was that I was focused on and trying to do. And he will, you know, he will help you to be able to do that, so that when it's your turn to be a steward, and your turn to pour into the lives of other people, you will be able to do that with a smile on your face, knowing that you're helping someone and that you were pouring the kind of seeds into someone else that you had hoped someone would have poured into you, but that will come back to you at a different time. You know, they're all just kind of seeds that they're, you know, that we sow, and it's important. So, you know, pick yourself up, you know, because as I was saying earlier, I could feel some of you were just like right there at the verge of just giving up, like, I just can't do this one more time. I've had so many setbacks, you know, and then there are times when you have to just kind of like, you know, fast and pray and just kind of seek them too, because like the setbacks could actually be tied to something else. And if you find that you're not hearing from him, go back to the last thing he said. I'm going to say that again. If you find that all of a sudden God has stopped talking and you're not hearing from him, go back to the last thing he said. Because whatever it was he told you to do, he stopped talking because you didn't do it. He just got silent. He's like, I can't give you the next set of instructions because you haven't done the first thing I told you to do. So go back to that conversation. If you can't remember, just ask the Holy Spirit to bring it back to mind. That's part of his job. He's the spirit of remembrance. So, you know, just ask him to bring those things back to mind. And then he will let you know what it was that God had told you to do, and then you can pick back up from that point. And then once you've done what it is that he's told you to do, then they'll start talking again. You guys can dialogue about the next step, you know. And sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, okay, well, you know, he's given me this step. Okay, I'm supposed to do the next 15 things on my own. Nope. That's not how this works. He gives the instruction. You follow it. You go back and ask for the next set of instructions. You follow it. Go back and ask for the next set of instructions. You follow. What we usually end up kind of messing things up is, you know, he gives us one set of instructions, and then we like, I got this. And then we go on off and do our own thing, and then we wonder how we ended up way over here in, you know, in the right field somewhere when we really were supposed to have been, you know, just walking right down the center because we stopped asking him and stopped seeking him for guidance. So, you know, he's not asking that we know everything. He's just kind of asking that we have relationships and talk to him and then be obedient to the things that he tells us to do. You know, and I know sometimes that kind of, you know, deals with our ego. You're like, you know, but I don't need him for all of that. You know, I'm perfectly capable of thinking and I can reason and I can come up with logic and I got this, you know. And sometimes we feel like that, but the truth is we need him, you know, because he can see around corners that we can't see. And he sees the stuff that's on our path, and he knows the connects that it is that you need. But if you go on off and just kind of do your own thing, then you leave yourself open to whatever it is that happens when you're off there doing your own thing until you go back and kind of repent, like, okay, I'm sorry, I've taken this thing over again, and I made this all about me, Lord, and I forgot that, you know, it is you who gives me the ability to get wealth, and that is so important. He gives you the ability, you know, and so, like, even though you have the gift doesn't actually belong to you. You're just the steward of the gift. He gave the gift to you for you to be able to use and to do what it is that he had needed you to do with it, and so it's not okay for you to just, you know, just do what you want to do and just, you know, oh, I got this, you know, because it doesn't, you know, fully belong to you. I kind of, I remember going through a similar thing. I've been writing since I was 7, and it was my gift, you know. Now, I didn't grow up in an especially, you know, spiritual environment, so, you know, I didn't really know about all that. I didn't know that he had, like, you know, loaned the gift to me or given me the gift for me to practice stewardship over. You know, I just knew that it was something that I had, and it was something that I used to kind of help me in my environment. You know, I wasn't really a very big talker, but I had a whole lot of stuff going on, and I needed an outlet. So writing was the gift that he gave me to be able to deal with my life at the time. And so I started writing at 7, and, you know, and so I'm just used to writing. And, you know, and according to my standard, you know, hey, I was good at it. So, you know, I'm plugging along. And I remember when he was asking me to do something, I'm like, what? Oh, no. I have no intentions of writing about any of that, you know. And he took the gift. I couldn't write for a long time unless it was something he had actually given me. I was so angry. Oh, I'm like, this is mine. How dare you require me to do whatever this is. I'm, you know, fine, you can just have it. you know, yes, I threw a tantrum, a nice big tantrum, but I could not write for a long time. I feel like it was a couple of years, you know, where I was literally just writing what it was that he wanted me to write. Like, he had let me just kind of work the gift how I wanted to work the gift or use it how I needed to use it at one time. But then at some point, I reached the point where he was requiring that I give the gift back to him. And I wasn't prepared for that. And I didn't know that he had the right to be able to ask that of me. And I was really ticked off about the fact that I had to give it up and I couldn't just do what I had been doing. But then, you know, I finally yielded and I gave him the gift. Like, okay, fine, you know. And at some point the attitude changed, you know, where I wasn't just ticked, like, fine, I'll write what you want me to write. You know, I am still just, I'm letting you know I am doing this under protest. But, you know, it all worked out for my good and for, you know, and for the benefit of whatever it was that he actually gave me the gift for. It wasn't just for me. It was for edification of the body. So, yeah, saying all that. So if you find that you're still just kind of, you know, holding on to the gift and still just kind of doing what it is that you want to do, you know, and but you know that he's kind of tugging on you and telling you to do something different, you know, you go ahead and give it back to him. You know, it's for your benefit, you know, and it will bless you. And it will open up doors that you could never open on your own. And so we're just talking about right now, just about how to partner with him and how to get the instructions that you need, because ultimately what you want is manifestation. You're not trying to, you know, just twiddle your thumbs or, you know, beat a dead horse and keep, you know, going around the same mountain over and over, you know, when there's a more direct route to get you where it is that you're trying to go. So, you know, give him what he's asking for, you know, and make him your partner. You know, because he can see the things that you can't see, and he's the one who can open doors that you can't open. I'm going to say that again because that's important. He is the one who can open doors for you that you can't open. And there's something that you've been trying to work on and trying to get yourself to for a long time, and you just could never seem to make it work. That's because you haven't quite given it to him, and you haven't done what he's told you to do. But as soon as you do, that door will open. I'm going to say that again because there's that was a message for somebody. As soon as you do, that thing that you've been, like, believing for and wanting all this time, as soon as you obey and do what he told you to do, he will open up that door for you. That is your word. That is what he's speaking right now. When you do what he told you to do, the door is going to open up immediately. So, and then all you have to do is just walk through it, and it won't be any pressure. You know, there's a word he spoke to me just recently, or a phrase, I will, if you will, on effortless ease. Things should just flow. Effortless ease. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, you know. And so, like, I don't have to strive for stuff. You know, I think about even, like the stuff in the process I went through, you know, with the book. Like, I had a time when I was doing things that were kind of, like, time-sensitive. So I had, like, the urgency to get things done, like, on time. But then, you know, but that was before we could meet the deadline that he had for us. And then once that was done, you know, then it was, okay, you know, and I finally, as I was trying to, like, you know, market the book, I really found myself, like, really overwhelmed. I was working two jobs and, you know, still trying to do the parent thing and had a lot of stuff going on. And I quickly became overwhelmed. And he said, you don't have to really strive to do that. I told you, I got the stuff with this book. You know, you just listen to me. And go where I tell you to go and talk to who I tell you to talk to and just do what I tell you to do. I got this. And when I just relaxed, you know, that's exactly what he did. You know, the next thing you know, somebody was, you know, contacting me to do an interview here or contacting me to host this radio show. And, you know, and I didn't, it was real effortless on my part. I was flowing in what he called effortless ease. And so you don't have to strive. You just have to yield and submit to his spirit and just obey and tell you and do what he's telling you to do. So that is our message for tonight. And so I did mention the book, so if you have not picked up your copy of Season of Change, you may do so on my website. That is www.tamikapatrice.com. And there you can access all the e-commerce sites where the book is being sold. If you want signed copies, those do have to be ordered directly from the site through PayPal. And The Season of Change is the name of the novel, and it is the dynamic story of a couple who has reached a crossroads when unresolved issues from their past resurface. It's very emotional. It's a very powerful read, and it is getting rave reviews all across the country. It makes me so excited. Season of Change is available in ebook format as well as in hard copy, and be sure to order your copy today. If you haven't already, please follow me on Twitter and Facebook and sign up for my newsletters. You can do all of that on my website. It's one-stop shopping, if you will. I am having my blog also stays there, but it's having some kind of problem. My web designer hasn't been able to figure out how to fix it. My RSS feed only, it's not feeding the entire article for whatever reason. So, you know, if you are on Twitter or Facebook, when I post new blog posts, they automatically feed there, and they are complete. So if you are going to my website, like looking for the blog stuff, that's probably not the absolute best place to get them right now until he fixes this problem and we figure out what the heck's going on there. So now, if there's somebody out there who is listening and knows how to fix it, shoot me an email. Let me know, please, because I really need to kind of get on that. But remember this week, you know, keep your confessions and the things that you think and say pointing you in the direction where you want to go, especially when trials spring up. And just know that it's imperative at those times especially to keep your conversation strong and positive and to surround yourself with people who will keep you built up and strong and positive. You are one day closer to being where you want to be. Keep going. You can do it. The finish line for this leg of your journey is just about in sight. So just keep on going. Remember, it's dark. It's just before dawn. And so if you're feeling like, you know, you're here at your end and you just can't do one more thing, I'm here to tell you, yes, you can. You are strong. You are able. You are capable. You are anointed to do what it is that he's called you to do, and his power is there with you to strengthen you and to keep you going and also to bring about manifestation in your life. So keep your goals in mind, you know, and do something each day that gets you a little closer to where it is that you want to be. You know, it's not enough just to think about it. You actually have to, like, put steps in place and actually, like, do something. So put those steps, and that's why when I say my little thing I end stuff with, make each day a great day on purpose. On purpose. Do something towards getting yourself where it is that you want to go. Read a book. Do some research. Whatever. Make some phone calls. Make some connects. Do something that gets you towards where you're wanting to go, and do it each day on purpose. And know that you are worth it. So tonight we're going to end with the song, by Music Soul Child and Chrisette Michelle. And I am wishing each of you a peaceful night and blessed sweet sleep and prosperity and health and love and joy and just all things that are a part of the abundant life. Have a great evening.
You're both to me. My love.